Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, kindness and care and how reaping what we sow can be a good thing if we're kind and caring. This is Ruth 2. Most of the time when we hear the phrase, you reap what you sow, it's kind of a warning, right? It's like, don't be too mean. Don't be too judgmental. Don't be too stingy. Like, treat everybody well, because if you don't, then they might not treat you very well either, right? That's what it usually is used for. But it can also be a very good thing. If we are kind and caring, take care of others, do treat others well, and we reap what we sow, then that's a wonderful thing. And that's what we see from Ruth today. We see that her kindness and care towards her mother-in-law, Naomi, that we saw last week, comes back on her this week. Someone sees the things that she did for her mother-in-law, and he is grateful for it, and he is kind and caring to her in return. And so let's go ahead and just get into this lesson. This is Ruth 2, and it says, Naomi had a relative of her husband's family, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. And Naomi said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Now, let me explain to you what this meant. Before God ever even gave the Israelites the promised land, he set everything up perfectly for them. He said, I know that right now you have this abundant land. This is perfect land, and everything is going to be producing great, and I'm going to give each one of you your own piece of land, and it's all going to be great. But there will come a day when someone will mismanage their money, or they will fall on hard times, or there will be widows, orphans, people that need food and can't get it. And so God set up from the very start a way for them to get food, for those that for some reason can't grow their own food and have their own farm or, you know, inherited land, that they would be able to eat. And so the way that he set this up is that every field, whenever they would go and gather all of the grain, they were supposed to leave pieces. It's like, don't pick up every single piece of grain. You know, you have people who go through and they begin to pick this up and they bundle it up and just go at a decent pace and leave pieces there. And then also leave all of the edges to where you don't mess with them. And then all of those who are poor, who are needy, who are widows and orphans and strangers in the land that don't have their own piece of land, all of these people will then be able to go behind us and they can pick up grain for themselves. And so that's what Ruth is asking Naomi. Is it okay if I go out and do that? See if I can find a field where they will let me pick up the leftover grain. And Naomi says, yes, that would be a great idea. That's what this is for. And so it says in verse 3 that Ruth set out and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field that belonged to Boaz, who is from the clan of Elimelech, which is what we just talked about, this in verse 1, where it says, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And so Ruth did not know this. She was unaware that she was going to, you know, the man that was of their family. She didn't know that. But God knew, right? And God directed her specifically to this place. This was divine providence that this is the field that she ended up on the very first day. And it's also not a coincidence that Boaz comes to town to check on his workers and his field that day. And so that's what we'll see in the next verse. And so it says here in verse 4, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." And then Boaz said to the young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She came here and she said, 'May I please glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers?' And so she came and she's continued to be here from early in the morning until now, except for a short rest." And then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they may reap and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? When you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." And so he's talking about men and women that work for him. The men would be the ones that would cut all of this grain, and the women would come behind them and they would gather it. And then also it sounds as if the men are the ones that gather all of the water. And so he says, "You stay with the women, the other maidservants that are working for me. I want you to stay here with them, and you follow behind the men and get the grain with these women. And then also you can go and get the water anytime you need anything to drink. You just act like you're one of my maidservants," is basically what he says. And then in verse 10, it says, "She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, especially since I'm a foreigner?' And Boaz said," this is the key to the whole lesson, this is why Boaz is being so kind to her, because she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" And he says, "Because all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land, and you came to a people that you never knew. May the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, whose wings you have taken refuge." So that's what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the lesson, is that he heard her kindness and care towards Naomi, and so he is being kind and caring and protecting her and all of those things because of that. And then he not only is doing that himself, but he is asking that God return her kindness and care back on her. And he says, "You know, also, I realize that you've left not only your family and your land, but you left your gods and you took refuge here with our God. And I want our God to reward you for that." And then in verse 13, it says that Ruth said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I'm not one of your servants." So she's basically saying, you know, that's overwhelming to me. The way you're treating me is really giving me comfort. I'm sure that Ruth needed comfort, right? Not only did she just leave her family and her land and her gods, like we've already been told several times, but her husband just passed away, right? And so she's lost everything that she's known except for Naomi. And so she needs comfort. Ruth needs comfort. And by leaving everything that she has had and knowing that, you know, she's kind of going out in an unknown area, obviously, but her whole future is unknown. And now in this first day of her going out to work, she feels like somebody's taking care of her, like it's all going to be okay. She's going to be able to take care of Naomi now because of Boaz. And so she's like, "You have spoken so kindly to me. You are wonderful. I'm so comforted by what you're doing for me. Thank you so much." And then it says Boaz didn't stop there. At in verse 14, he says, "At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat bread and dip your morsel in the wine.' And so She sat beside the reapers, and he passed her the roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and it says she even had some left over. And then when she got up to go back to work, it says that Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and don't reproach her. Also, pull some of the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and don't rebuke her." And so he just keeps on being kind to her. He's like, "Hey, I need you, you know, stop for lunch. Come and eat with us. We've got plenty of food." And they do have plenty of food, because this means that, you know, she still had some even left over. And then after she gets back up, he says, "Hey, she's not going to be one of the poor widows that follow behind my maidservants and get what they leave. I want her to work among the maidservants. Let her have the sheaves just like the maidservants do." And then he says, "And now and then, pull a little out of your bundles and drop it. Let her have as much as she can get, you know." And so it says that she gleaned until the evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned. And this was about an ephah of barley. This is what she got in the day. And so an ephah would have filled like a 5-gallon bucket overflowing of grain. This is how much she got, which they say would have been like 30 or 40 pounds, which would be like 2 weeks worth of grain for just her and Naomi. So in one day's time, she has gotten all of this. And this is all because of Boaz, obviously. And so it says that she took that and she went up into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she also brought out and gave her mother-in-law the food that she had left over from lunch. And then her mother-in-law said, "Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man that took notice of you." So she realizes, she's like, "Oh, wow, someone did let you glean in their fields, and you got a ton. Like, bless the man that allowed this from you." And so then Ruth says, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And when Naomi heard that it was Boaz, she really realized how blessed that they really were. And she says, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And so when he says that he has not forsaken the living or the dead, he's saying he hasn't forsaken us who are the living, but he also is taking care of us because he hasn't forsaken our husbands that have now passed on. He is taking some responsibility for us because he knows who we are. That's what just happened. And not only is he a relative, but he is one of our closest relatives, even to be one of our redeemers. And what that means is, this is something that God also set up from the very beginning. Remember I said that he gave this land to the Israelites that was flowing and abundant? Well, he didn't just say, "Go move into this land." He gave specific pieces of land to each tribe so that every single tribe would have their own piece of land. And this was to preserve them so that, you know, no tribe ever became extinct or ever intermarried with one another to where, you know, they just became one whole Israelite tribe. It was like, I want to make sure that every single one of Jacob's children stay preserved. You know, they are forever inheriting this land. And so one of the ways that he would do this is, you know, the boys would inherit their father's land, and then whoever they married would come and live on that land. And so if they married with the people of the other tribes, then that woman forfeited her piece of land and came and lived on her husband's land, and that preserved her husband's name and the land that was in his name. Another way that he set it up that has to do with this kinsman redeemer is that if any man became too poor, his land maybe, you know, didn't produce well, or his widow, you know, or if he passed away, whatever the case may be, and he lost his land for some reason, if he had to sell it to someone, then a kinsman redeemer could redeem that land back. So that would mean their closest relative could go and buy the land back for the man if he had the means to do that. And then if no one was able to do that, then if the man eventually got the money back to buy his land back, then he could go and buy his land back. And then God also had provision that the land was never sold permanently because he did want to preserve each tribe's land. And so he said, every 50 years, we will have a time where everybody gets their land back, regardless if they're able to buy it back or not. And that was just God's way of preserving the people. And so what Naomi is saying is that, you know, our husband's land has been lost because they're gone and we had moved away and all of those things. But this man is such a close relative that he could possibly redeem that land back. And it could be in our family again. He has that ability. And so this is for real divine providence, that God would send Ruth to Boaz's land, that Boaz would take notice of her, realize who she was, and take responsibility for her and be kind to her in return for her kindness for Naomi. So all of this has been orchestrated by the Lord. And so Naomi is telling Ruth this. She's like, oh, this is not only, you know, is it great that you got this land, that you got this barley from the fields today, but the man that you got it from is special. He's important to our family, and this is a big blessing for us. And so then in verse 21, now that Ruth knows this, she informs her mother-in-law more, and she says, well, he also told me that you should keep close to my young men until they finished all of my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, oh, it is good, my daughter, that you should go out among the young women, lest you be assaulted in another person's field. So she's basically saying, this is good. This keeps you protected, because especially as a foreigner, and I don't have, you know, there's no man here to protect you. It's a good thing that Boaz is also protecting you. So he is really is taking care of the living and the dead by saying, you know, I know that your husbands are gone and I'm going to protect you. And so Naomi says, this is all really, really good for us. And then in verse 23, it says, so Ruth kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. She lived with her mother-in-law there. And so, remember, she came at the beginning of the barley harvest, and it says she stayed in his field until the end of the wheat harvest. And they say that was about 2 months' time between Passover and Pentecost. And so this is a couple of months that she stays in Boaz's field until both of the harvest seasons are over and she's gotten barley and wheat out of his field. And so now we want to know, what can we learn from this? The first thing that I really noticed about this is how God has set everything up so perfectly from the very beginning. Before there were poor people, God made a way for them to be able to have food. Before there was widows that didn't have any inheritance, because when they came into the land, everyone had their own inheritance. They all had land. Even if they didn't have a husband, they fell under someone. That's the way that it worked at the time. And so even before there were widows, poor people, people who've lost their land, God made a way for them to get back their land, and God made a way for them to eat. And that just shows his love and care and his preparation, right? His provision for his people before they even needed it. When they were living in abundance, he was thinking about a time when they would live in lacking, when some of them would be lacking. And he set it all up from the beginning, a way for them to be able to eat and keep their land. And this is just amazing to me that God is putting, you know, so much thought into this. Why that's impressive to me, I don't know, because he's God. Obviously, he's going to do those things. But if you think about him as a person, it's like, wow, you've been thinking about all of this from the beginning. None of this was an afterthought for you. It's not like all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, what are these women going to do for food? I better figure something out. It's like, no, he set the whole country up to support these people from the start. And that's just so impressive to me and just shows God's extreme love for his people that he would do this. In Psalm 68, 5, it says, Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And then Psalm 111, we'll start in verse 5, says, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. So in both of those, it says he gives food and he gives them land. And then in verse 7, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever to be performed in the faithfulness and uprightness. And so it just shows preservation, right? Forever. These things God has set up forever. And then in verse 9, he sent redemption to his people. He's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have a good understanding. And redemption, right? The kinsman redeemer. We got a little piece of God's redemption in this story today. And we're going to talk about that much more in Ruth in the next couple chapters. And then in Proverbs 15:25, it says, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he maintains the widow's boundaries. This is what Naomi is saying, that this kinsman redeemer Boaz may very well be able to maintain her boundaries, get her land back, that she doesn't lose all that she had. And so that's the first thing I noticed. God, look how he set this up from the very beginning. And then in saying, you know, that nobody was an afterthought to him, Ruth and Naomi were not an afterthought to him. He was making provision for them when he set the nation up all those years ago. And so how beautiful that is. That's the first thing I saw. The second thing is how all of Ruth's kindness and care towards her mother-in-law, Naomi, came back on her, right? And, you know, usually, like I said in the beginning, we use the you reap what you sow thing as a warning. It's like, hey, you better watch it because you're going to reap what you sow. You better not be too ugly to somebody. You better not keep money from others whenever they're in need, because you might be in need one day, right? You might be having a bad day and be ugly to somebody and need their mercy. All of those things that people are usually warning us about, like you reap what you sow, you better be a nice person. And, you know, God even tells the people this several places, but one in particular I'm going to read to you. This is Luke 6, 37 and 38. He says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with what measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. So God is saying, you reap what you sow. If you are judgmental towards others, then you're going to have people coming and criticizing you, and you better be able to take that. If you don't like that, then you need to do it in a nice way, in the way that you would want someone to come and address a situation in your life, because you're going to have them use the same measure towards you. If you want people to give to you, you should give to them. If you think you might ever need forgiveness, you better be a forgiving person, because however forgiving you are, that's how forgiving people are going to be towards you, et cetera, et cetera. And so God warns us about this, And that is a warning. You reap what you sow should be a warning. But it also tells us that when on the flip side, we are kind and caring, we are giving, we are forgiving, we do serve others, we do protect others, we do take care of them, then other people will do the same things for us. We see that in this story of Ruth. Let's read this again. I really want us to hear exactly what Boaz said as to why he is being so kind to Ruth. When Ruth says to him, you know, why have I found favor in your eyes that you would take notice of me? And Boaz says, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. He said, because I know what you've been like to your mother-in-law. That's why. I see how you left your father and your mother and your native land, and you came to a people that you didn't know to take refuge from a different God. He says, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May he give you a full reward because you have taken refuge under his wings. And so he was only returning the kindness to her that she had shown to her mother-in-law, Naomi. He's like, you were sacrificial and kind and came here to take care of her. And that makes me want to take care of you. It makes me want to be kind to you. You're willing to work. I want to help you. You know, you wanted to come out here and work to get food for you and your mother-in-law. And that makes me want to help you get that food. Everything that I've seen you do for her makes me want to do the exact same things for you. All of those things were falling back on Ruth, right? And so in Proverbs 11, 17 to 18, it says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. And that's what she's been doing. She's been sowing righteousness, and Boaz is rewarding her, and he's asking that the Lord also reward her. And so in seeing that Ruth is getting rewarded for her kindness and her care towards Naomi, and then reading this verse where it says it benefits you to be kind, not other people, for you to be kind to them. We already know that it benefits them. But when we hear that it benefits us and that we get rewarded for it, we might be tempted to do it for the reward, right? It's like, I don't really care about this person, but I know that God will reward me for this. Other people will reward me for this. And so I'm going to go and do this act of kindness, you know, just to get the reward. And if we do that, God knows our hearts, right? And we can be assured maybe we will get the reward from the people because maybe they think that we're doing it out of the kindness of our heart. But God knows better. And in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, he tells us this. He says, take heed that you don't do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they already have their reward. So he's basically saying you won't receive a reward from God because you already got it from men. You're over there saying, hey, everybody, look at me. See what I'm doing. And then everybody does look at you and they see what you're doing and they reward you. And God says, well, I won't reward you. Not if you do it in that way. Don't expect a reward from me. He says, instead, when you do a charitable deed, do not even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. So you will be rewarded from the Lord if you are doing it without trying to get reward from everybody else out of the kindness of your heart, because you do definitively care about these people, and you want to do it to help them. You want to be kind to them. And so if we don't do it for the reward that we get for ourselves, for the benefit that we will receive from it, then why do I even mention it? What is the purpose of saying that because she was kind, she got kindness from Boaz? Why do I even say that? And the reason is because sometimes it's kind of hard to be kind, right? I mean, this is just the truth. Sometimes some people are hard to be kind to. Some people are hard to give to because we know why they don't have what they have. Sometimes it is hard to give, especially if you're in Ruth's situation and she is having to sacrifice in order to give to Naomi, right? And so sometimes it's difficult. And, you know, Ruth could have easily been like, Naomi, I'm really sorry. I know you lost your husband years ago, and now you've lost both of your sons, but I can't take care of you. I just lost my husband. I need to go home where people can take care of me. I'm sorry. You go home to your people and let someone there take care of you. I'm going to go home to my people. I need someone to take care of me. I can't take care of you right now. Has anyone ever felt that before? I know I've felt like that before. I'm like, man, I really need someone to take care of me for a change, right? I am having a hard time. I can't deal with someone else. And so she very well could have been like that. And providing that she wasn't, when we see that she could have said, this is too much for me. I can't handle it. I need to let someone else take care of me right now. Seeing that she didn't do that, and then Boaz did take care of her. She wasn't in her mind saying, I've got to figure out a way to take care of myself. And instead was thinking of Naomi. God sent a person that would take care of her, that would give her what she needed because she gave Naomi what she needed. Do you see how that works? And so when we see that, that should encourage us when we feel like I don't have anything to give. I need to be filled myself. Or whenever we're thinking it's too difficult to be kind to this person, they're rude, or it's too difficult to forgive that person, they don't deserve it, or whatever the case may be, when it's too difficult for us to treat people in the right way, we will be able to say, no, God says to do it, and I know that He will take care of me if I do these things, and so I'm going to trust Him. And I'm not going to take it upon myself, like reject this person and say, nope, I'm just taking care of myself. If we will resist that temptation, then we can see now that God will help us to be taken care of. He will meet our needs. You know, sometimes we're tempted to meet our own needs, figure out a way to meet our own needs, and at the detriment of someone else's needs, right? And God's like, don't do that. If you will just do like Ruth, don't think about yourself. Think about somebody else. Do what they need, and then let me take care of you. I'll send someone else to take care of you. I will meet your needs. I will feed you. I will send you protection. I'll shelter you with my own wings. I will do this. Just don't withhold from other people just because it's hard. That is why I mention it, because it shows us something that we can hold on to when it is difficult, when we are tempted to say, no, not going to do the right thing right now. I can't. It's too hard. I don't want to. This tells us, no, you can. It will be okay. You can trust God. And so I want to read a couple of verses that pertain to this. This is in Luke 6. This is a little bit before the verses that we read earlier that says, judge not and you will not be judged, condemn not, you won't be condemned, you know, forgive and you'll be forgiven, give and you'll be given to. With that measure, it'll be measured to you. That verse, this is before that. And this is Luke 6, verses 27 to 36. And it says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer also the other cheek. And from those who take away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do to them also. Do unto others. Right? And so I read that part to say, this is the hard part, right? When you don't want to love your enemies, whenever people are cursing you, Whenever they are abusing you, whenever they hurt you, whenever they steal from you, treat them how you would want them to treat you if you happen to do those things to them. You might say, well, I would never do those things, and they deserve that. And that very well might be true. And God did make provisions in the law for the law to take care of those people. But personally, we are not supposed to retaliate. We are supposed to treat people with kindness. James 1:19-20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And so if our desire is for someone to treat us better, then our anger is not going to make that happen. That's what he's saying. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so that's why God tells us to, you know, turn the other cheek and treat each other with kindness, even when they're not being kind to us, because that is the best way to win people over. That's why he's saying that. He's giving these instructions. This isn't the law. This isn't justice system instructions. This is instructions to his children saying, hey, if you want to bring people over to me, then you're not going to do it with your own wrath, with your own rudeness, with your own retaliation. This is how you're supposed to do things. And so, again, I read this because these are the hard times. And these are the times that we need the encouragement that we will reap what we sow. If we're rude back to them, then somebody will be rude back to us one time when we're rude to them. But if we're kind to others, then we might be helpful to them, and it'll benefit us in the long run because people will treat us in kind. And then in verse 32, it goes on to say, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love the people that love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to only those who you expect to receive back from, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back that same amount, right? He says, it's easy to be kind to somebody that's kind to you. It's easy to give to somebody that you know is going to pay you back. It is easy to be loving to someone who is loving, but I'm asking you to go beyond that. That shows that you're of me. And so he says, love your enemies, do good, lend, expect nothing in return, and then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he, the Most High, is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. So be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. If God is merciful to us and he's merciful to the evil, then we can also be merciful to others whenever they may not be acting quite like we want them to act, right? And then Galatians 6:9-10, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. And so this is saying what I'm saying about Ruth. Don't grow weary in doing good, because Ruth is the proof that in due season you will reap what you sow. So be good to everybody, and then God will take care of you. Colossians 3:12-15, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against someone, forgive them. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must forgive. But above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. This is what we should do. Put on love then. Put on humility and kindness and meekness and compassion and patience, and bear with other people. They might be having a bad day. They might not be where you are yet. And so I'm going to end with this. Not only does Boaz return Ruth's kindness, but he says, since you have come here to seek refuge under the wings of the Lord, then I pray that he gives you that refuge, and I pray that he rewards you fully. And in saying this, it seems like he's saying, you're not going to regret your decision to leave your gods and come and take refuge under this God. He is going to protect you, and I'm showing you that. I'm giving you that protection. I told all of my young men not to lay a finger on you. You will be protected. God has done that for you. Because you placed your trust in him, he is going to repay you. He's going to repay you for your kindness. He's going to repay you for your care. And he is going to repay you for your trust in him. Psalm 145, 14 to 20 says, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, Lord, and you give them the food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears the cry and he saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And so God will repay us according to our deeds. If we treat each other badly, then that's a warning. But if we are kind to each other, we're sacrificial, we're giving, we're forgiving, we're serving them, then God is going to repay us in kind. 2 Samuel 22:21 to 28. God dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I didn't turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from being guilty. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in his sight. And then listen to this. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself torturous. You save humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty and you bring them down. So you reap what you sow. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. This is what God does. That can either be a warning or it can be good. And so let it be a good thing. And then I'll end with this. When we place our trust in him, we forsake all others and we step out in faith, not knowing what is going to happen, not having the things that we need, not having our needs met, right? When we step out in faith and trust God to meet those needs, we're not going to regret it. He'll prove himself worthy. He'll be a good provider, a good protector. He will provide us with whatever those needs are if we will just look to him. He'll show us compassion and care. We just have to rely on him. And so in Isaiah 54:4-5, it says, fear not, you will not be ashamed, for you will not be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. Remember how Naomi said God had dealt bitterly with her? This is what he could have said to her. He's like, forget all of that back when you were young. Now things are going to be different for you. And then in verse 5, he says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The God of the whole earth, he was called. So the one that made you, he is the one who can fulfill all of your needs. I know you don't have a husband anymore, but I can meet the needs that he was meeting for you. Rely on me. Yes, you may miss your husband, but you won't miss him because you need him. You'll miss him because you want him, right? God will meet those needs. Trust in him. And then the God of the whole earth the Holy One of Israel, he will be your redeemer. He will redeem your situation. He'll turn it around. He can take care of you. He's the one that you need to place your trust in. He's the one that you can rely on. And so when we see this story of Ruth, and we see that at first she was also lacking, and she was leaving everything, and she was making sacrifice for Naomi, not knowing if she would ever get her needs met, but she wasn't going to leave Naomi. And God said, no, I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to send this man. I'm going to send you straight to his field, and he's going to give you everything you need, not only food, but protection. And he might even be able to redeem everything that was lost here in this land. God is worthy of our trust. We can place our trust in him. We don't need to be stingy and say, I can't give to you because I need things myself. No, we can give to others and know that if we will give to them, then God will give to us. He will take care of us. That's not a worry. Either he'll do it just himself, or he'll send someone to do it. Boaz is saying he wants both for Ruth. He's like, I will protect you. I will take care of you. And I pray that God does the same for you. And that can be the same for us. So that is our encouragement today from Ruth. She is just one encouragement after the other. And so next week, we're going to see what happens between her and Boaz. So don't forget to subscribe so you can see what happens in that story. And also, remember that I have a new podcast. It's a whole new channel, so you have to subscribe to that channel. And it is Live Through Jesus Weekly Devotions. And I'll talk a little bit more in that podcast about what we can learn from Ruth in this story. And it's much shorter than this. So that's something that you can also listen to and share with friends who might not want to do this long study. So don't forget about that. Also, go to my Substack, livethroughjesus.substack.com. Everything is so organized there, so you can get all of these blog posts, and you can also watch there and listen there to the podcasts, both of them. And if you want to become a paid subscriber, then you can get these lessons sent directly to your email, and you can go through them with me or with your friends at your church or your Bible study group. One subscription, then you can print it out for everybody. So it's just $6 a month or $60 a year. And you can do these studies along with me, get the scriptures and everything. In a digital study, it's also so easy because you can just click on the scripture and it brings it up. So you can read everything straight from your device. So all of those options there for you, still taught here for free. So that's all I have for today, and I'll see you back next week. Thanks, and have a good day. Thank you.